Let's go to Malachy O'Doherty, the commentator, and also Irish news journalist Alison Morris. Malachy,
good morning, Chris.
You listen to all of this, you guys, and you kind of get to the stage where you think to yourself, we've had one negotiation at Westminster, and ultimately it does feel like it is having a bit of an impact at Stormont, because it feels like Sinn Féin are listening and seeing this money and they want to be in a position to spend it.
Well, yes, it does. I mean, my memory goes back to all the negotiation processes, and one thing I've learned over the past years is not to get excited about them, you know, because usually what happens with deadlines is they crash. Certainly Arlene Foster is in a very, very strong position now. She has done two things. She's got this massive deal and this great injection of money into here, but she's also, in the recent general election, elevated her vote. She reversed the kind of setback that the party suffered in the assembly election in March. So she's riding high, and Sinn Féin have been riding high as well, and both of them see themselves thriving on deadlock at the moment, and that's a bad thing. Each of them is going to be at the table working out the details of what happens next, and each is going to have the evil thought at the back of their mind that actually if we go back to another election, we can do even better than we did before. I think there's a broader picture to this, and I think that there are strong incentives still, and maybe more for the DUP than for Sinn Féin.
Weirdly, Malachy, if you listen to a lot of the people who said this Westminster deal would be dreadful for Stormont, it would mean that there was no agreement, actually, it might actually have the opposite effect.
Well, it might. I mean, certainly one of the arguments being made in the British media is that this is, and we've heard it from Peter Hayne, that this compromises the Good Friday Agreement. You heard it from Jonathan Powell as well. I went through the Good Friday Agreement looking for this word impartiality and finding out where the British government was supposed to be impartial. And there seems to be only one issue in which they really have to be impartial, and that is on the final outcome of whether or not there's a United Ireland. And they don't need to be impartial, and they never have been impartial in the interim things. But whether but now we have the Tory party saying we are not impartial in the union, though the government, by the agreement, is impartial in the union. And then you also have this question of whether in the day-to-day running of Northern Ireland, the government will favour the DUP because they're now buddies. And we are having to trust the Tories, if you like, to have an integrity that we don't normally associate with politicians at all.
Alison, I mean, I've listened to you a few times during the last couple of weeks in which you were talking that you got no sense from Republicans that they really wanted back into Stormont. Do you think that has changed?
I think you've seen a change in the language that they're using. There's definitely a softening of the language, especially when it comes to Arlene Foster. I think, you know, as you pointed out, if we went to the start of the year and we take January, for instance, there has been a remarkable reversal of fortunes for Arlene Foster's position. It's pretty untenable in January. And here she is now, you know, riding high on the crest of a wave. I think Sinn Féin were in a very strong position then, and they're in a much weaker position now. They probably, to some extent, overplayed their hand. Nobody expected the general election to have the outcome that it did. Nobody expected the DUP to be kingmakers. And at this point in time, I think whatever strategy that Sinn Féin has, they've had to rip it up and go back to the beginning and look again. They will want to get back into the executive, but at the same time, they can't go back on all the promises they made, the election promises, you know, the no return to the status quo. We won't go back on this A, B and C. And now they're going to have to backtrack on some of those and go back into an executive to basically help dish out what, you know, some of the commentators in the UK have called a Tory bribe, you know, a bung, whatever you want to call it. But this Conservative money, which is going to stick in their craw, that the DUP have managed to secure, regardless of what happens, that Sinn Féin are going to have to help administer that in the executive. And that, for them, is a big ask. So they're going to have to do some serious political spin, I think, to try and sell that to their electorate.
Yeah, and beyond that, you also look at what these core issues are. And we talked to John O'Dowd about them this morning. How do you square that circle about the Irish Language Act, about same-sex marriage, about Arlene Foster stepping aside? Because the harsh language of the last months doesn't go away.
I know the precedence for this would suggest that what you do is you kick this further down the line. I mean, if we go to an agreement on Thursday, then you basically set up your first and deputy first minister, Rhonda Hunt, and then you go on your holidays, for like something like 3 months. So there might be a temptation to say, look, let's make the right noises here and let's sound hopeful. I think Alison has absolutely hit the nail on the head in terms of the difficulty Sinn Féin has. You know, that they committed themselves to something really quite grandiose, and they are pegged to the assertion of Martin McGuinness that there would be no going back. Not only did there have to be concessions on the Irish Language Act and on same-sex marriage, on the use of the Petition of Concern, on the Human Rights Act, for instance, there also had to be a complete change to the way in which these two parties would operate. And it also had to be done on the understanding that really Sinn Féin didn't have to concede anything, that all this was covered by previous agreements that only had to be implemented. So Sinn Féin were basically going to go in there and sit there and say, are you ready to give us what you've already promised to give us? If they can't do it that way, if they really go in now, they are going to be subject to a huge degree of mockery. But if they don't do that, and if the thing goes to an election, and they get a setback at an election from what they achieved in March, where they were practically level pegging with unionism, if that happened, that is also a major humiliation.
I just wonder, Alison, do you see where there are grounds for compromise on these issues? Is it possible?
I think the DUP have already made it clear that they would be willing to compromise on the Irish Language Act, albeit they're starting to call it a cultural act, and widen it out beyond the Irish language. So I think that there could be a compromise there. The second point that I see is the Arlene Foster as First Minister one, and I think that's something that Sinn Féin are going to have to eventually backtrack on, because she is basically in the most powerful position she's probably ever been in her career. She's not going to step aside because Sinn Féin have asked her.
That's quite a backtrack for their supporters, yeah. I'll tell you.
And it really, really is. And so that's the one thing. I mean, the Irish Language Act, I think, will happen. Same-sex marriage, I think, ironically, the DUP going into government or going into disagreement with the Conservatives will make same-sex marriage happen, because they've seen the ridicule and the mockery that they've been subjected to in the UK press for these sort of, the dinosaur type policies.
Again, hard to sell to some of their supporters, though.
I think that you'll probably see that being implemented through the courts and in some other way that the DUP can manage to take one step of separation from, but they know it's common, let's face it, we all do.
Sinn Féin might also think there's a longer game to play that they can carry on with here, because there will be embarrassments for the DUP in the relationship with the Tories. There will be a wedge between them that it'll be possible to work on, and to stir issues on. So it may be that, and there is the fact that the DUP, fairly or unfairly, is coming under this barrage of contempt from the British media and from the other parties. So Sinn Féin might see some merit in letting that play out and let the party take it.
I'm not sure, because mockery from the UK media is one thing, but all the DUP have to worry about is votes from here. And I think if we did go into another election, the Old Unionist Party would be wiped out, because Unionist voters have seen the power of their vote when they voted for the DUP.
Yeah.
It got results. So if we went to another election, I think we'd be looking at a total wipeout almost of the smaller parties, and a two-party state completely.
I've got to say as well, Alison, you talk there about Arlene Foster now riding the crest of a wave. Who would be a leader in politics? If you look at Jeremy Corbyn, where he was sitting this time last year, and look at where he is now, and look at Theresa May, a year on, everybody's fortunes seem to just spin around here.
They did. It was a complete reversal of fortunes, and Jeremy Corbyn played a blinder during that election campaign. And I think, when you see him at Glastonbury, you can see, he may not be, the Prime Minister-elect, but he's certainly the Prime Minister among the popular vote among the people. The DUP have handcuffed themselves to probably the most unstable and toxic, Conservative government in many years. It could all well fall apart, and I think that there'll be some embarrassing votes down the line, as Maliki said, when it comes to, some of the laws that are going to be pushed through, and they have to have commitment to backing them on legislation that they don't even know what it is yet.
Right.
It could be anything, and they have to back them on it.
We're almost out of time here. Just briefly, in a word, Alison, deal or no deal?
I think there'll be a deal, but not by the deadline.
And Maliki, what do you think?
I would agree that I think no deal. I think there's a game to play in working the division between the Tories and the DUP.
OK, Maliki O'Doherty and Alison Morris, thank you very much.